on Facebook and on YouTube. You're welcome to join the conversation there. And this is a call to financial experts who may be listening to us right now. We'd like to get your thought as well on our conversation this morning. I have joining me right now Taiwo Idile, a fiscal policy partner and Africa tax leader at PwC. Taiwo, good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sherry, and good morning, Nigerians.
Fantastic. Let's begin by what happened last week. How would you describe, because I've heard so many experts call it different names, but how would you describe it? What is it really?
Yeah, so that's very important. You're right. We've heard Naira devaluation, we've heard unification, we've heard all manner of, you know, descriptions. But I think, you know, sometimes it's not like one is right and the other is wrong. It's more about different perspectives that people are looking at it from. But essentially what has happened is, before now, we have different windows, and I'm trying to avoid terminology. So yeah, we have different, maybe you should call it markets.
Okay.
Where you can get dollars. It's not only dollars, but let's focus on dollars. And then at different rates. So if you want to get school fees, payments abroad, there's a rate. If you're an airline, you're trying to repatriate your money, there's a rate. If you do RT200, some of the you know, initiative introduced by the CBN, it's a different rate. If you bring dollar for diaspora remittances, there's a different rate. If you're going for pilgrimage, so there were all manners of rates. And what this caused was, is it distorted the market, such that if you had dollars, you don't want to bring it into Nigeria because the law require that you don't take it to the parallel market. You must give it to government. Mm. And government gives you a value that is less than what you know it's truly worth. Mm. So what they did last week was to say, you know what? The central bank will no longer place a limit on the rates at which Naira can exchange for foreign currencies, particularly the US dollars. We would allow willing buyer and willing seller. So you have dollars to sell, I want to buy dollars, we agree our rates, and that's it. So they opened up the, so this particular market is called I&E window, which is really investors and exporters window. That was what it was created for, but now it's going to accommodate everyone, not only investors and exporters. So when you go to that market, willing buyer, willing seller, you strike a deal and everybody is cool. So that's exactly what has happened. So I'll be reluctant to call it a devaluation because for some people, they were getting at 750 in the parallel market. Now, if the rate is down to 600 and something, for them, it's actually an appreciation rather than a depreciation. But the guys who were getting it at 460, they were not very many, just a few privileged people. For those guys, it will feel like a depreciation, you know, of our currency.
Right. How does this affect? In fact, before we go to that part, let me just build on what you have said now. You said people can go to the investors and exporters window, I&E window, to go and trade. But someone asked me this question last week, and I didn't have an answer for that person. And the person said, does it mean that as an individual, if I am in America and I have plenty of dollars, can I bring such money into Nigeria to come and sell without going through any I&E window, or even at the I&E window itself, or without going through my bank? Can I just put money and bring dollars in and come and sell?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So unfortunately, the foreign exchange market is not like, you know, a market that you go to in Ojaoba and then you stop. So the foreign exchange market is regulated and they're authorized dealers. So which means you can't just, in fact, it's not a physical market where you can go to and say, I have dollars to sell. So the way it works is, if you have plenty of dollars in America, of course, I don't encourage that you put the cash in your pocket and travel to Nigeria. But if you choose to do that and you bring the physical dollars to Nigeria, then you have to approach a bank or a BDC. But the most advisable way to do that is to do electronic transfer through your bank. So your bank is the one that will help you sell it at the IIN window and give you the equivalent Naira.
correct me if I'm wrong, Taiwo, with the newly removed cap on deposit in the domiciliary account now, this makes it even a lot more easier, right?
This makes it a lot easier, but it's not even deposit. That wasn't the limit that they removed. Okay. That limit, I believe, is the limit that they removed is a lot more than that. So what has been the problem before?
Yeah.
Was that the central bank kept producing all manners of controls and restrictions, including they'll say that if you pay dollars into your DOM account in cash, you can't even take that money and use it to make electronic payments. You can't transfer it. The only way you can get that money out is to go back and withdraw it in cash. Then the amount you can spend on a daily basis or withdraw is limited to a certain amount. In fact, even on cards, they had limits. So what they have now said is, whether you pay in cash to your account, you are free to use it through Telegraph and electronic money transfer. So I even have a colleague who relocated to Canada and buying dollars and saving it, in her account for so long, only to get to Canada and she didn't have to pay bills and she couldn't move the money. She was stranded because they say, "Oh, we're sorry. Oh, when you paid in the cash into your the dollar was paid into your DOM account in cash, and therefore you can't use it." So that didn't make sense. So I'm very glad now that restriction has been removed, because the more restrictions you have in place, the more difficult it is for people to trust the system, the more difficult it is for you to attract inflows. Because if it's difficult for me to take money out, I won't come. Just imagine going to a party, you say this is the best party in Nigeria, but you are not guaranteed of leaving that party, then who wants to go?
That's right.
So entry and exit are equally important.
Let's now move swiftly now. We're going to come to BDC operations in a moment, but we also need to touch on this since we're dealing with the banks now for this moment. Initially, the source of Forex for the banks used to be the CBN. Is CBN still the only source for deposit money banks now, or they can source from the IE windows or from individuals as well?
Yes, good question. So the CBN became the major or even only source of supply because they created the problems. So other sources of inflow of FX almost dried up completely. So before the CBN started introducing all manners of restrictions and controls, there was a time in the I&E window that there was too much dollar supply that even the CBN themselves were buying up dollars. So that Naira does not appreciate too much. You know, Nigerians want Naira and dollar to be at par, but that's going to be a disaster. So from an economic point of view, you don't want your currency to appreciate too much. So we're getting the billions of dollars from external sources, from investors, from businesses. Once they mess up the rule of that market, those sources dried up, and then we have to rely on CBN that didn't have enough and couldn't print dollars because it's now our own currency. Now that they're trying to loosen the space and allow market forces to prevail in price discovery, what you're going to find is gradually alternative sources of FX will start coming to the market that even the CBN will only just have to sit by, watch, and look, and only intervene by selling and buying dollars if things become too volatile. Otherwise, the market will take care of itself.
Indeed. Now, let's go to how this affects the operations of the BDC, which is quite important in this conversation. How would you suppose this would affect them?
Yes, you recall that the BDCs, were stopped from getting dollars from CBN. CBN said you can continue with the operation, but we will not give you dollars to sell. Again, because there was so much opportunity for, we call it arbitrage, which is you can get it at a lower amount and go and sell it at a higher amount and make money for yourself. And there were thousands of BDCs were just opening up overnight because it became a very, very viable way to make easy money overnight. So once the CBN could no longer sustain that, they then stopped BDC to say, BDC will no longer give you dollars. You can continue your business, but go find your dollars that you will sell. Now, that they have now unified the exchange rate, and they are trying to relax the rules. Not all of them have been relaxed as of yet, maybe expectedly. What we expect will happen now is the BDC can also go to the market and go and look for their own dollars. And when they find their dollars, they can now go and sell subject to a spread of 1 naira, which means if you buy dollars at 600, you cannot sell it for more than 601 naira. You can only add a spread of 1 naira to the amount at which you bought it.
Indeed. Taiwo Idele, please hold your thought. I have a two-part question for you. But before then, let's go to the telephone lines and hear from Lagos their understanding of what we've discussed so far. And of course, if they got questions for you, then they can put the questions to you as well. And we hear from them. Lagos, there you go. The lines are open now. 01-277-0993. 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. That's for the male callers. The female callers can call 01-465-7190. If you're a male, you can call 0700-993-993-993. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. And we're streaming live on Facebook as we speak right now. You can drop your comment on there. We're also streaming live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. Please, when you're calling me, go straight to the point. I beg you. Good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Yes. I really appreciate your program and I appreciate your guests this morning. Yes, but there are some few things that I really don't understand. Concerning the FX free transaction, I want to know if it is possible to change the FX between Naira in mobile apps, or probably you can be able to, it's a kind of flexible transaction. Can you understand what I'm saying?
No, can you break that down?
What I mean is this. Now, I have a domiciliary account and I have dollars in it.
Okay.
And then when I go in to try to convert these dollars to Naira or to buy dollar with my Naira, and there is restrictions. So I want to know, does this also include that area of transaction?
Oh, yeah. I get your question now. Taiwo, do you have an idea? Have banks started doing that already?
Unfortunately, we are not at that point yet. I don't think that will happen anytime soon. The reason is that there's still a lot of documentation requirements in Nigeria for you to convert dollar to Naira, Naira to dollar. So if you just sit down at home and you just press your app and you convert, then they won't have any means of asking you for those documentation, right? So, so that is not possible as of yet. Mm.
Is that a direction to go, though?
I think so, because, you know, by unifying the exchange rate, it does not mean that dollar is suddenly available in abundance, right? It will still take time. So which means if you don't manage that transition from the old regime to the new one, you collapse the Naira. So all the restrictions that we have in place now, you start lifting them gradually as inflows start coming in. Mm. So ideally, which is in many countries, you can go to your bank app and just move money between currencies and it will convert and tell you the exchange rate.
Yeah.
But we don't have that degree as of yet.
Right. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Yeah, please. I would like to say, what is the control measure they put on the previous BDC to know how if they were selling above a certain benchmark, and how are they sure this will eventually work?
Mm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Taiwo, incidentally, this is also part of the lineup of questions that I've got for you. Remember the old system that you mentioned earlier, they buy at a price normally from the central bank, and then they have the power to just inflate and speculate and all of that. Who is to say, I mean, the question of the last caller is, who is to say that this can't be hijacked as well, that the price, the hike can't be forced, you know, by the BDCs, by mopping up the dollars in circulation?
Yes, you know, again, you have to always think about people are selfish, right? They're economic animals. So they look for what will benefit them, even if it doesn't benefit society and everybody else. So there's always a tendency for abuse. Yes. So that is why you find the central bank not, you know, loosening all the restrictions and controls immediately. Now, the biggest control for BDC not to just do anything they like is actually market forces. And this has happened in Nigeria. It happened for many years that the difference between the official market and private market used to be one. And in fact, there was a time that the private market was slightly lower than the official market. The reason is that if you need dollars today and you can find that dollar in the official market at, let's say, 600, why would you go to the BDC? BDC is part of the share market anyway. But why would you go to, if you can get that 600 at your bank, why would you go to BDC and pay 650? So the reason why BDCs and some other actors can hike their own exchange rate is when there's no liquidity and availability in the official market, or you have the liquidity and availability, but the restrictions are too many. You ask people to go and bring tax clearance certificate, go and bring a passport, go and bring you know, all manner of things. Maybe if you need only $200 and those requirements are too much and too onerous for you, you may then decide to go to, you know, another market where they will not ask you too many questions. So essentially, I think the answer to that question is it will be a combination of two things. One, regulatory oversight by CBN, and two, the efficiency of the market itself serving as a form of control.
You see, Taiwo, I'm looking at this from the angle of the banks now trying to compete favorably because, I mean, right now, I think to some extent they can compete favorably with the BDCs in case they are trying to play a smart move on them. So my question is, do banks, individual banks now, do they have that freedom to now adjust the rates according to market forces? Is that what is obtainable now? Let's say, for instance, hypothetically, BDC say, okay, you know what? Maybe they sell this thing for 750. Banks know if we go that way because CBN will caution them. Can banks also adjust to make sure that they tighten up that gap?
Yes, you know, it's, to be honest, it's not really banks because, again, banks also don't have dollars of their own that they are selling. Mm. So it's people bringing dollars to the bank and then people coming to the banks to buy the dollars. So banks are just like the intermediaries. So, again, what it will go back to is the person that is bringing the dollars. It could be an exporter. It could be an oil company. When they are bringing their dollar, they say, I want to sell it at 650. Or 700, that's you put a bid, a quote. So the bank will say, wait, I have people who are looking for dollars. Let me look at the rate at which they want to buy. Mm. And then you strike a deal, right? Mm. So it's not the banks to determine the rate, it's the market forces.
Right.
The only difference is that if you have BDCs, because their own regulatory scrutiny is less than those of banks, right? So because a bank cannot afford to lose their license, so they are more careful. Mm. BDC, if you lose your license, you go and find a way to register another one. Mm. So their appetite for taking the risk is much higher. So BDCs can mop up some cash and then, you know, by doing all manner of things, then try to inflate the rate at which they... But again, if more liquidity is available within the banking system, then nobody will go to them and they'll be forced to bring their own price to the range of, you know, the official rate.
Mm, indeed. Taiwo, we're going to take one call now as we prepare to head out for our first break. Then after the call, when we go on that break, we'll now come back to my two-part question. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
You have to see the point here from Ikeja.
Welcome.
You see, the question I want to ask is this. If you look at the news this morning, they now said you can now take maximum of 10,000 daily on your dumb account. And for instance, if I have about maybe bank A, bank B, bank C, three banks now, I have dumb accounts, that means I can have minimum of $30,000 and maximum of $30,000 from each individual bank. Now, is it not going to amount to federalization? So that's the question I want to ask him. Does it not go to amount to dollarization of the economy.
Dollarization of the economy.
We have our own alongside. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Tayo, do you get that question? But please hold your thought. Let's head out. Let's take this break. When we return from this break, we'll answer him on dollarization of the economy. And that's a very valid question, though. Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. It's time for a quick break. We'll be back.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 8:43. Welcome back to the Crossfire. Yes, we're live from our audiovisual studios here on Etimi and Christian Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I have Taiwo Idile here from PwC, and we're talking about I don't even know what to call it again, Taiwo. Just talking about Naira and whatever we want to call it. Let's pick up from where we left off, the last call about dollarization. And that fear is genuine, really. That fear is quite genuine.
I think we started by saying some call it Naira depreciation, some say it's an appreciation, depending on where they're looking at it from. But I think one way you can put it easily without going wrong is you can say that the federal government has removed FX subsidy, because there were subsidies that they were introducing in different markets. The subsidy everybody plays on a level playing field determined by the market. Now, question around dollarization, yes, this has always been a concern for many people. I don't think you can stop it 100%. I think the biggest aspect of it has to be driven by government itself. Government has to stop demanding for dollar for any payment within Nigeria. So as we speak today, there are provisions in the tax laws, VAT, withholding tax, where they say if you pay for a transaction in foreign currency, you must equally pay the tax in foreign currency. We have government agencies, the Master, Nigerian Port Authorities, asking for payment in dollars, right? So government itself has to lead the way and be proud of Naira and then make payments to be Naira-based. There's already a requirement in the Foreign Exchange Control Manual that says you should not conduct transactions in dollars. So ordinarily, a landlord should not ask you to pay rent in dollars, even if that is in Banana Island, right? So that's what the law says. But imagine that you're still desperately looking for that property to rent.
Yeah.
And the guy say, oh boy, I don't care, waiting government talk. So you have the dollar to pay. You pay and nobody will know that you have paid. So sometimes dollarization is driven by the fear of devaluation. People are afraid of holding their wealth in Naira, because they know by this time next year they could have lost 20-30% of it. So they want a currency that is stable. So which is why the most important thing for us is not whether Naira appreciates to become $1 to $1. It is whether Naira is stable, so that the exchange rate does not move significantly, and that attracts investment. It builds confidence in the Nigerian system and Nigerian Naira, so people even want to invest in Naira assets. That is really the point that we should be driving at.
Right. Incidentally, you have answered my question, my two-part question, because my question was going to be what will likely then happen to the Naira, the local currency now, as regards the value and all. Then the second part will be then what is likely to happen to foreign direct investment? Is there something you can shed light on?
Yes, definitely. So with what has happened now, what we expect is we need to still build the confidence. So there's an excitement, not only in Nigeria, but globally, about what Nigeria is doing now. You've seen the likes of IMF, leading banks, investment banks, even analysts all saying this is the right thing that they have been asking for. The former central bank governor, SLS, Sanusi Lamido Sanusi, Your Highness, also said the same thing. This is what we have been asking for so long. So we need to then follow up excitement with the right pronouncements. And I think so far the CBN is doing well, just a few things that they also need to do. Then once that confidence is sustained, going to see in a matter of weeks, money will start coming in. It will start most likely with the foreign portfolio investors returning their dollars to the Nigerian capital market.
Mm.
Once that happens, what you that Naira is likely to appreciate, because if you have more supply than demand, then the value of your currency would appreciate.
Mm.
Now, whether it appreciates or not, so long as the confidence is there, you're going to see foreign direct investment returning to Nigeria. You're going to see all manners of investors coming back with their dollars. You're going to see Nigerian exporters confident enough to bring in their proceeds from export back to Nigeria. And once you have investment, there were years we had foreign direct investment in tens of billions of dollars. Last year, we had under $500 million for the whole country in a whole year. That's the kind of money you attract for just one project, not a whole country. Once you have FDI coming back, there can be no growth without investment. Investment is the major driver of economic growth. You're going to see factories being built, industries being built, businesses springing up. They will need suppliers, they will need employees, they create employment, go up. This is what we have been asking for. I think this is the best way to grow an economy, is to create the right environment for investment, both domestic and foreign investment.
Right. Talking about investment, Tayo, I've really thought about this, because this thing can't happen in isolation. You have borders being closed. You have some prohibited items on the list of importation. What is the connection between all of this and this new policy of the government? Will it positively affect the stability of the Naira and the value of the Naira when you remove the subsidy of the Naira now, as regards the kind of products that come into the country? Should this prohibition, should this list still be enforced by this move, or we should open up the economy so that investors can truly and confidently bring in products into the country?
Great, great question, Sherry. Yes, so this is, you know, when I was saying that the CBN has been doing the right things, and I said there are a few left. So this is actually some of the things I had in mind. So we have this list of 43 items that the central bank says, you cannot go to us, you cannot come to us to look for your dollars. So go and find your dollars anywhere you can, but not from the government. And these items are not, they are not contraband. So there's no law that says you cannot bring them in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find things there, you know, sugar, rice. I know there's toothpick there, but there are other things there that it's not a crime to bring them into Nigeria.
Right.
So what those people that are doing them were now doing was to go to the parallel market and look for their dollars. So governments essentially push demand to a market that does not have debt. And because it does not have debt, then the rates started going up. And then it created the problem that we are now trying to deal with. So what government needs to do is to allow anyone and everyone, so long as what we are importing is not illegal, go to the market and look for your dollar. Now, when government wants to discourage any consumption or importation, like toothpick, and then impose higher rate at the border. So I'll say, when you import toothpick into Nigeria, your import duties is 300%. Whatever I feel is enough to discourage people from importing toothpick without hitting up the foreign exchange market. That is number one. The second important point you raise is the border closure. The previous administration, in my view, was not very sincere with Nigerians. They say we're self-sufficient in rice. We knew, everybody apart from the government people knew, we were not self-sufficient in rice. You find foreign rice all over the place. And then you say that, you have border closure, don't bring in this. So when you do that, what you do is actually increase the cost of those items, and government does not get the import duties on them. So you lose both ways. What government needs to do, in my view now, is use data to say, what is the consumption locally? What is the local production capacity? What is the gap? And then plan over a period of time how you replace that gap. meet local production. But in the meantime, please open the border for these items to come in and punishing Nigerians unnecessarily for things they cannot control.
Right, indeed. Taiwo, we need to go now. But before we go, I'd like to ask you my final question, which is, what would you advise? So we've removed the subsidy on Naira now, as you've put it. What would you advise the next step of the CBN should be in consolidating this policy?
Excellent. So the CBN needs to work with other agencies, particularly the fiscal authorities. I know that cabinet has still been formed, but we have to have a handshake between monetary policy, fiscal policies, and other policies. And you need to make sure that your communications are very clear in terms of the direction you are going. And don't issue things just randomly and then come back and reverse it. That's what we've gone through in the past, like, almost 9 years. We need to move away from that. One, build confidence. Two, to attract liquidity back to that market. And then number three, to ensure that the exchange rate is stable, which is really what we need for our country. That would be my advice to the settlement. Government needs to stop the payment of local taxes and levies in dollars. That is very urgent, and it should be done like yesterday.
Taiwo Edele, fiscal policy partner and Africa tax leader at PwC, thank you so much for joining us today again, sir.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Lagos, that's our show this morning. You can watch this show again on Facebook and on YouTube. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 and you'll be able to watch again.